Welcome to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to feature an interview I recorded a few months ago with Lindsay Johnson. Lindsay is a first-year student in our class of 2021, and she and I sat down to talk a little bit more about her background in media and entertainment, her decision to pursue an MBA, what led her to Darden, her experience applying to Darden through the consortium process, her interest in brand management, and much more. As noted, we recorded this interview a few months ago, and given everything that's going on in the world, we're going to take this opportunity to share some previously recorded content here on the podcast. But know that we have identified a solution that will allow us to keep the podcast running, even during this time in social distancing. I also want to note, wherever you are in the world, I hope you're feeling healthy and well and staying safe. And as always, thank you for taking time to listen to the podcast. So without further ado, here is my interview with first-year student Lindsay Johnson. Lindsay, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So tell us a little bit more about you. Who are you and what's your background?
So I grew up in D.C., so not too far from Darden. Went to Georgetown undergrad and had always been pretty obsessed with entertainment, books, movies, TV shows, and knew that was sort of where I wanted to focus. But ended up studying business undergrad and thinking I would end up in a marketing role at an entertainment company. So after I graduated, I ended up getting in touch with a Georgetown alum who ran this film festival for the Discovery Channel, which was based in D.C., where I wanted to be for a while. She hired me to run all the marketing for the film festival, which I was in no way qualified to do. But I think they figured, okay, you know, she's basically an intern. We can see what she can contribute. So I ended up spending 3 months doing that. It was awesome. Really enjoyed it. Got to travel, did a lot of work and learned a lot about marketing. And when the summer was over, my supervisor was going back to a role in production at Discovery Channel. And she said, I think you'd be good at production. Have you ever thought about working on the creative side of television? And I said, never thought about it. I went to business school, but I'll try it out. And the deal was sort of, come do this production job and we will keep an ear to the ground for a marketing opening and then we'll slot you into a marketing role when something comes along. So ended up spending 8 years working as a TV producer and never made the transition, but I loved it. So 4 years at Discovery Channel in DC and then 4 years at NBC News in New York doing news productions, which sort of led me to the business school path, but a lot of fun, a lot of hard work too.
So producer, television producer, you hear this terminology a lot, but I don't know if all of our listeners know what it means to be a TV producer. What does it mean?
Yeah, it is one of those things that I think is a little bit convoluted. So there are a lot of different sort of focuses within production. You can work in pre-production, which ends up being a lot of like ideation, thinking about new ideas for content, coming up with pitches, like pretty substantial PowerPoints and Word docs, and then maintaining client relationships and going out and pitching to people. So, for example, at Discovery Channel, we were pitching to internal brands like TLC, other things that Discovery owned, but then also going out to other networks and pitching to them too. So that's sort of like the front end of things. Then the middle piece of production is actually in the field or on set, making the content. So a lot more technical, working with a lot of equipment, working with a lot of staging, like sometimes working with actors, sometimes working with real people, whatever that looks like. So that piece of things, which is pretty crazy, involves a lot of travel and a lot of like long hours and sort of doing a million takes of the same thing until you get it perfect. And then on the post-production side of things, there's like writing, editing, fitting everything together, getting the show or documentary, whatever you're working on, sort of exactly how you want it, and then delivering it. So there's like an administrative piece of things to that. And then sort of throughout the whole process, there's a lot of operations type work going on and project management, maintaining budgets, maintaining schedules, and paying vendors and consultants and things like that. So it's pretty like comprehensive in terms of the work that you do. And I got to do a little bit of everything. So it was really exciting. But yeah, definitely a lot of stages to the process.
So you mentioned you had been a business focused undergrad, mm-hmm. right? So you had some previous exposure to business. Did you know from your undergraduate career that, or even prior to that you wanted to pursue an MBA?
Honestly, I didn't. I went to Georgetown originally. It was my dream school, and it was like 15 minutes from where I grew up. So I think it was one of those sort of like, you can see it, and that kind of becomes your goal. And when I went, I started as an English major, thinking I would work in television or entertainment in some way, but never really thought about like the creative or writing piece of things, even though I loved writing. And after a year and a half as an English major, I was like, oh, I kind of want to do something a little bit more practical, get some sort of marketable skills, and I transferred to the business school. So ended up transferring into Georgetown's business school, and then found marketing and thought it was such a great combination of like the creative stuff that I loved, and then also some of that like strategic thinking and business planning that I was really excited by. But truly never thought about getting an MBA. I thought a little bit about maybe going to law school and trying to get an entertainment lawyer. But yeah, I mean, it was really never on my radar, honestly, not until much later.
So what put it on your radar?
So when I was working at NBC News in New York, and I'd been working there for I worked there for 4.5 years, so maybe 2 years in, and had spent so much time sort of chasing promotions and like, when can I go from an assistant to an associate to a producer to a supervising producer? And I'd gotten to a point where I was like, oh, wow, this was sort of my beacon to get to this point. And I looked around and I was like, oh, what's next, right? And there weren't a ton of executive roles, like in a creative function, there's not necessarily a build out of like executive teams and such. And was really finding myself interested in some of the things that weren't in the scope of my job. So I found myself really interested in like, how are they marketing the shows that I'm creating? What's like the strategy behind that? Found myself being pulled into brand integration, so partnering with brands to make original content, and really loved that. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited by this, and like thinking about brands and how to represent them. But that, again, like wasn't part of my job. So I sort of had I was pulled into assignments and projects that I was more excited about. And so I thought, I think marketing or strategy or something on the business side is maybe where I grow from here. And wasn't sure exactly how to do it. So I started networking at NBC and meeting with everyone I could, and seeing if I could get sort of pivot out of a production role into a marketing role. And it just was too difficult. It just was sort of like a mismatch in terms of the level I was at in production and my marketing experience. And so thinking about next steps, I was like, I think business school is going to be sort of the game changer for me and allow me to not only make the change I want to make, but explore. So I think marketing is what I'm interested in, but being at business school will allow me to really like dive into myself and think about what I want and enjoy the classes and see what the recruiting options are. So that's sort of how I got there. But it was a long process of, I probably spent like 2.5 years thinking about business school and thinking about studying for the GMAT. Before I actually went for it. So a lot of like contemplation and talking to people and going to events and making sure it was the right step.
That sounds right to me, at least in terms of the amount of time that, I mean, I think many prospective students spend a year or two just kind of thinking about it. Do I need to do this? Is this the right step? Is another degree the right step? So all of those questions, I think, are all part of the process. And it typically takes a little while for people to process through that. I'm curious about how you found out about Darden.
Yeah, so candidly, I've always had sort of an affection for UVA. Undergrad, my two top choices school-wise were UVA and Georgetown, and I got into Georgetown. I got waitlisted at UVA and got off the waitlist like quite literally a week or two before I was starting school at Georgetown. So it was just too late, and I love Georgetown. But so I had that like place in my heart for UVA when I was 18. And then when it came to business schools, I was living in New York. So I looked at the New York schools. I was thinking like, what do I really want in terms of community? Do I want to be in a city school, or do I want to be somewhere where everyone is sort of invested? And my worry about staying where I was that I wouldn't have the sense of community that I wanted, and I wouldn't get everything out of the experience. Maybe I would get a great job, and maybe I would take some interesting classes, but would I really have like special, deep, meaningful relationships from the experience. And I thought, hey, why don't I look at Darden? I love UVA. So let me see what Darden's all about, and ended up reaching out to a few people from Darden's website, namely one guy who graduated, I think, 2018, who had worked in television as well. So I reached out to him, and we ended up talking on the phone for like 2.5 hours about just like the industry and Darden. And that's truly what really gave me the focus, like the sense of community that I wanted, the academic rigor and actually being able to come out of school with like real tangible skills. That piece of things was certainly there, and sort of just the community vibe that I was getting from him and how close people were and like supportive of one another. Really, that conversation really sort of put things into focus. And I was like, this is definitely where I want to go to school.
It's funny, the MBC connection. We've had at least a couple students recently in the executive MBA program from MBC in Washington, and another student from CNBC. And so it's interesting to think about the news media and MBAs. And were you at all, I mean, you had a business undergraduate background. Obviously, you've been doing production work and kind of more of a creative role. When you thought about coming back to business school, did you feel prepared? Did you have any concerns? Like, have I been doing the right thing? I mean, I was wondering what's on your mind as you were thinking about that.
I definitely did not feel prepared. I felt like I certainly was managing projects and doing some quantitative work in terms of like managing schedules and budgets and numbers, and looking at like consumer data was a big part of the front end. So in terms of developing new content, consumer data and like looking at ratings was a big part of my job, but I did not feel prepared. And I'd been out of school when I applied for 7 years. It had been a long time since I'd taken a business class or done anything math or quant related. So I was a little bit scared to take the plunge, but it was sort of like I had to do it and I wanted to get the skills. So I tried to not be as terrified of being unprepared or being less prepared than my classmates who'd maybe been working in finance or accounting or more like traditional roles, and just kind of accept that I'd maybe have to work a little harder and to get up to everyone's level, and that I was like ready to actually commit to doing it.
Did you do anything in the summer to diminish some of those learning curves? I talked with Tom Steinberg, interestingly enough, a little bit earlier today, and he was talking about all the pre-matriculation activities and the resources that are made available, and there's quite a bit. And I was sort of just curious whether you took advantage of that. Sometimes people will do some other work on their own. How did you get ready for business school?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time studying for the GMAT, so I think that originally is sort of what brought back thinking in that way and like thinking quantitatively. We had a lot of resources over the summer. We had accounting, Coursera courses. We had, we had finance. We had an MBA math course, and those were really, really helpful. So doing those over the summer, even though I worked almost until the time I came to school, which I wouldn't recommend, but going home and being able to work on those sort of a little bit each night, I felt really, really helped prepare me. And then I downloaded a few like math game podcasts, which seems silly, but, or not podcasts, apps, while I was studying for the GMAT. And I felt like those also sort of like, if I was on the train going to work or had downtime, those kind of got me thinking a little bit more about numbers and strategy and those types of things. So there are definitely resources that I would recommend everyone take advantage of, because they are really helpful and help you sort of hit the ground running when you get here.
There's also Darden Before Darden that some students do. For our international students, there's BSpeak, which is an English proficiency course. There's also international student orientation. Then once you get here, there's this whole group of second-year students who also help out. You have all your classmates, hardly on your own as you embark upon this. And so what section are you in?
In D.
All right.
Yeah.
Section D. What's your mascot?
It's D. We have a big D and a little D, and then a medium-sized D. It's just the letter with eyes. So he takes on, or I don't know if it's a he or she, but the D's all have personalities. Yeah. So they're pretty funny.
And your color?
Blue.
Blue. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about your first year experience. You mentioned sort of feeling perhaps a little underprepared and not sure you were quite ready for this, but taking advantage of some of the pre-matriculation resources. What were those first few weeks like when you were adjusting to life here at the Darden School?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the first thing I would say is that I didn't do Darden before Darden because I had conflicts and I really wished I had. So I think that if I could go back, I would definitely have tried to take advantage of it. So it's great. Yeah, a great resource. When I got here, you know, after Darden, before Darden, and was prepping for classes to start, I tried to get my apartment set up and sort of like relax a little bit. And the first weeks were hectic, definitely getting to know everyone while like jumping right into classes and trying to sort of manage the case method, which I thought I knew what it would be like from doing so much research and talking to so many people, but it was definitely different to really be participating in class and be a part of the learning as opposed to what I was used to from undergrad. It's like more traditional lecture style. So there was certainly a little bit of a learning curve, but after the first few weeks, it sort of felt like I'd been here forever. So once sort of the, as a section, we got comfortable with one another, a little more comfortable with one another. Now we're very comfortable. And like I felt good chiming in class and things like that. It got a lot easier. So, yeah.
So sections, they all have their own cultures and identities. We talked a little bit about section colors, the section mascots that you have. There's also section norms. And I think this is such a cool thing that each section decides what its norms will be. What are some of the norms that you have in Section D?
Yeah, so we have sort of two pieces of things. We have traditions that we uphold and then norms. And we met, I believe, the first or second week of school to discuss sort of how we wanted our classroom to feel and what were the things that we wanted to be cognizant of in terms of like respecting one another and creating the optimal learning environment. So our norms originally were sort of like if someone's talking, give them the floor, don't raise your hand or don't chime in, be respectful of like making sure everyone gets in the conversation. So people have different levels of comfort with like talking in front of 70 other people. So people who are more comfortable, like make sure to sort of step back and give time to other people. We had some norms around being prepared for class and making sure that you're prepared to discuss the case and that you're not coming to class without sort of looking at things. What were our other ones? We had a few about leaving during class that we ended up revising. We had sort of like a second meeting later in the semester about norms, but a lot of them were sort of about how we can like support each other and make sure that everyone feels comfortable and has time.
What are the traditions?
So our biggest tradition, which I love, I think it's actually really, really nice, is so we have, I said we have different sizes of Ds. We have a big D that's locked, padlocked onto the desk on one side of the desk. Whoever sits there sits like with the D. We have a little D that's on a chain. And every Thursday, which is our last day of class for the week, we pass it on between classmates. So whoever has the D the week before comes to class and then in our break between classes on Thursday comes up in front of the class and says, I'm passing the D on to this person in section because of this, that, or the other thing. So it could be like something specifically that they contributed that week in class or something they did outside of class or more generally, I think this person consistently brings up really interesting points of view or I think this person consistently tries to get other people into the conversation who might not be as comfortable. And then we pass it on. So that happens every week, which is really nice and gives us all a chance to kind of like recognize each other for what we're doing for one another. And a lot of times people cry because it gets really emotional and really sweet. And then all the sections have cheers, but we have our own special cheer that we do in the beginning of class every day. And when we have visitors. So when people like prospective students come to visit the classroom, we do the cheer for them. And then normally just even when it's just us, we do it in the morning before school starts. So when the D is passed, we do the cheer again. And then the person who has the D for the week has to lead the cheer, which involves like getting up on top of the teacher's professor's desk and kind of like cheering on top of the desk.
Lots of enthusiasm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So you mentioned being a little bit surprised by the case method, that, you know, difference between sort of being, you know, aware of you're going to have a discussion versus actually being in the discussion. What were some of the big surprises, and, you know, how long did it take you to kind of feel like, okay, I know what's going on here. I know how to contribute. I know how to have a perspective.
I think the thing I was most surprised about is sort of how I reacted to case method. I'm not shy at all. But in the classroom, suddenly I felt much more shy than I think I am as a person. And I think a lot of people feel like that. Like they, you know, we're all doing the work. You definitely have a perspective to bring, but I think sometimes it gets a little bit intimidating. So that's kind of what surprised me the most, is that I thought I would have been the person who always had something to say, and I found that I've been quieter than I've hoped to be. But the thing that's great is that you can meet, and I've met with all my professors, and they sort of will give you tips that are specific to their class and their teaching style of how you can get into the conversation. So for finance, our finance professor, in the beginning of every class, we do takeaways from last class. So if you're someone who's not as comfortable with sort of like jumping in with an opinion, that's a great place to get into the conversation. Like, you make sure you know the takeaways were from last class, and then when you're asked, then you say, oh, you know, this is like one of the top takeaways. So things like that, and the professors can really help sort of guide you, or you can ask them, can you call on me to start the discussion? And that way I'm sort of forced to be in. But then you have to know that they're going to do it, so you have to be prepared. But yeah, I was surprised at how quiet it was. But I will say, now that we're finishing our first semester, our section, I mean, we take all our classes with our section, so we spend a lot of time together, and we've like evolved as one in a really interesting way. And we're so much more comfortable with one another that a lot of that sort of self-consciousness or worry about, am I going to say something silly or am I going to say something wrong, has kind of dissipated, and people are much more comfortable just sort of throwing out their opinion or throwing out like, hey, what if we did this? And then maybe it's the professor's like, oh, that doesn't really make sense. But at this point, it's kind of like a family. So you're not embarrassed in front of your family, really. So that's kind of how it's evolved. And we have one more quarter together, so I think it'll only get more comfortable.
Yeah, it's interesting, the idea of being quieter. I think certainly had these conversations with other students, and I do hear that sort of this kind of not quite sure how to get in there, you know, how to add value to the conversation, because you're typically talking about something that you don't have a lot of direct experience with, or occasionally you may encounter a problem or a case that sort of aligns with your own life or personal or work experience. But by and large, you're learning about new things. It's like new on new on new, and you're also still in the process of kind of getting to know your classmates too, even within that section. Do you feel like that's a lot of what's kind of driving that? It's like trying to figure out sort of how to be in this space and how to really add value to the conversation?
That's some of it, I think. For me, and for some people who come from like a less traditional, if you will, background, I think there's a sense of sort of insecurity around numbers. So am I going to put numbers up from my spreadsheet on the board that aren't going to be right? And is that going to be embarrassing or whatnot? But what you learn, especially if you talk to professors, is like if the first person they called on had the perfect numbers or the perfect model, then class would be over in 10 minutes, right? So there's value to working through things as a team. And once you realize that and you're able to see things from the professor's point of view, you're like, okay, well, you know, I worked on this, I built this model out, and like, you know, I didn't work on Wall Street before school, but I can throw my ideas and my model into the mix, and then we can use it to sort of as a learning opportunity, even if it's not perfect. So I think that's kind of the evolution in terms of thinking that you have to be comfortable.
Yeah, and you certainly hear faculty say time and time again, this is not about the answer. It's about the questions and about process, right? Darden, we talk a lot about process. Trust the process. It's all a process, 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 process. And so you think about what that means for the class environment, right? To your point, yeah, you don't want to get to the answer quickly. You kind of want to explore some paths, you know, why is this not right? Or why would this be more right? Or that sort of thing. So that's interesting feedback. How have you found the faculty in terms of, you know, as you've gone to them to talk a little bit more about class contribution or just things that weren't quite clicking for you? How have you found the faculty?
I found all the professors to be amazing. And we have some new professors in Section D this quarter too. And they have all been awesome. It's pretty easy to access them. Just I usually shoot them an email or ask after class, do you have time to talk, and put time in their calendars. And then you kind of go by and they'll give you however much of their time they can or that you need. And being able to have that sort of direct connection really sort of gives a more holistic view to the whole experience, right? Because they care so much about us growing and learning, and they love teaching, and that's why they're here. If they wanted to lecture, they could teach at a different school. So they're all very much enthusiasts of the case method, and they love to teach it. So being able to have a direct line, like if I've had questions or I've been confused about a case, they'll walk through a whole case with you. It's great to have that support, and it sort of comes in the form of like personal support. So, hey, I mean, I've gone to some of my professors and been like, I'm so surprised at how I've had trouble talking in class because I'm really like an outgoing person. What do you think I should do? Or if there's something you're not understanding, like bonds, I've had so much trouble understanding bonds. Can we just kind of like go from A to Z on this one topic that I'm struggling with? And they will like, on the chalkboard, in their office, go through everything with you. So I found all of the professors to be awesome, especially the new professors who are new to Charlottesville and adjusting and new to the case method, a lot of them. I just feel like they've all done a tremendous job. Like I couldn't imagine, being new to a city, new to a teaching style, new to a university and your job, and then still just being so accessible and caring so much.
So you applied to Darden through the consortium, and some of our listeners, we've talked about the consortium here on the podcast before, but some of our listeners might appreciate a refresher a little bit on what the consortium is, and how'd you find out about it?
I honestly don't remember how I first found out about consortium, but I think somebody mentioned it to me and said, I'm not sure what schools you're applying to, but check out consortium. It's a nonprofit. That's really aligned with sort of like the work that you do outside of work and what you believe in. And I ended up talking to a lot of consortium grads and current consortium students at Darden, which is how I really decided to apply. But to give some context, the consortium is a nonprofit organization and has, I think, 13, either 10 to 15 partner schools that participate in allowing prospective students to apply to the schools through the nonprofit. And the function or mission of the nonprofit is to increase minority candidates and students in business schools, and by doing so, increasing minority business leaders. So how can we get more people of color involved in business school and getting a business an MBA, getting a business education, and getting into roles of leadership and like high visibility positions, and sort of increasing diversity and inclusion in business environments and in school. So the mission is something that I'm really passionate about. I do a lot of D&I work. I did work at NBC in that realm. I am on the board of my high school in DC and do a lot of D&I work with them, sort of thinking about how we can make the school like a more inclusive place and increase diversity numbers and provide opportunity. So something that was really exciting to me, and I truly didn't know exactly how much I would get out of being a part of the consortium. I applied to only four schools, but they were all consortium members. So I did all my applications through the nonprofit software, and was like, when I decided to come to Darden and I knew I'd have this consortium community, I was like, oh, what's this going to be like? And it's just been amazing. Like a community of, I think we have 30 to 35 consortium members in my class. A community of people who believe in the same things as you and really value diversity and inclusion and really value thinking ethically about workplaces and school and have sort of the same mission as you. It's been such a valuable group to be a part of and such a valuable community to have, even coming into Darden. Like, we met over the summer and went to a recruiting conference together, and having that community of people that really felt like family made the transition into Darden a lot easier. But I think there's definitely, in the business school world, there's definitely a need for more diversity and more women, more people of color in business school environments. So there's definitely a huge value add for Darden to be a part of the consortium and to be partnering with them on admissions.
Completely agree. I mean, we've gotten such fantastic students through the consortium process for years and years. Darden has been a partner with the organization for a very long time. A consortium is a little bit of a sort of colloquialism. It's CGSM, Consortium for Graduate Studies and Management. If you're looking for them on the web, on the World Wide Web, it's cgsm.org, I believe. But a fantastic organization. You referenced OP, orientation program that's offered during the summer, which even includes a job fair, which is incredible. Students can already connect with employers even before they start their MBA program. And so, you know, you're an incoming Darden student. Everybody goes, if you're a consortium member, you go to OP. And how was that?
It was amazing. As I said, I wasn't sure. I hadn't met anyone in consortium here yet. I wasn't 100% sure what it would look like. I'd gotten to know Mark Paolo Guzman, who handles all our consortium admits, and he's amazing. So I knew that it would be a great community. But actually going to the orientation program, it was in Houston, and we were there for, I believe, a week at the beginning of the summer together. So definitely a little nerve-wracking. Most of us were still working, so, you know, taking time off work to go. And it was just incredible. I mean, we were staying at this huge hotel, so it was a little bit overwhelming. There were tons and tons of people there, all consortium admits from all the partner schools. So I would say 20 to 50 people per school for, like, I think 13 schools. And there was a lot of getting to know each other. We had our two consortium reps who are second years there, and then Mark Paolo was there, and then we had two people from admissions there, from the CDC, from career services there. And getting to know each other as a group was a big part of it, but then the recruiting opportunities were really extraordinary, and I wasn't quite expecting there to be so many employers there. We were definitely prepped before OP in terms of, like, getting our resumes ready and thinking about our stories and thinking about how to interact with recruiters and what jobs we might be interested in. But being there was totally amazing. There were so many companies there, and we got to meet, like, executives from all these huge companies. We got to interview. I interviewed a bunch of different companies, and it was really a unique, intense, but amazing experience. And I think as a group, I mean, it's December now. We, all the consortium members in my class, I feel like we've carried the bond that we sort of formulated there over the summer with us this whole time. So it's been really, like, valuable in terms of the recruiting piece of things, but also in terms of building community.
So as mentioned, perhaps I mentioned this, you're about 4 months or so into the program. It's December when we're recording this conversation, so the holidays on the horizon, a little bit of a break upcoming for you, but this is always an active time, particularly on the job front, for first-year students. Now, I will say also, though, that the career process here at Darden is a 2-year process. So I know there's always a lot of energy around the first year internship. But increasingly, I hear second year students talking about recruiting or re-recruiting. So do you know what you'll be doing this summer?
So I, to give some context, when I was at OP with Consortium over the summer, I interviewed for mostly brand management roles and focused on consumer packaged goods companies. For the fall, when I first arrived to Darden, kind of thought, let me explore consulting, and ended up spending the fall recruiting for consulting and brand management jobs. And then now, as we kind of are winding down that piece of the recruiting process and going into interview prep, our interviews are in January, so after the break, I'm pretty settled on brand management and think that's kind of where I'm going to focus my energy. So next summer, looking at doing a brand management internship at a CPG firm. And then, like you said, lots of second years we recruit. Lots of people get offers and take them and are done recruiting and have that to look forward to. So It is. Yeah, it's hard to remember that it is a 2-year process, and so you can use your internship to feel something out, and then if you want to reevaluate, or if you don't, then you're lucky and you found kind of what resonates with you. So definitely lots of opportunities to explore here, and for me, I did a lot of exploration and sort of came back to what I thought I would be doing in the first place, which is kind of a little funky, but also nice, because I feel like I came back to what I wrote about in my essays and what I thought I would be doing before I came here.
So some of our listeners may not know exactly what brand management is. One of the benefits of the podcast is that not only do we help people learn about MBA programs in Darden, but also just some of the terminology, some of the language, some of the career pathing. So what's brand management?
Brand management is interesting because a lot of times it's sort of put under a marketing umbrella, but at consumer packaged goods companies in particular, and at a lot of different large organizations, a brand manager really handles everything. So it's really a cross-functional role. You're kind of like, they will say, you're the hub of the wheel. So you're sort of at the center of things and you're liaising with finance and operations and creative and legal, and you really get to touch every piece of the business. So in a lot of ways, it's kind of like a general management role, if anyone's familiar with general management, with a little bit of a tinge towards marketing, depending on the firm. So really allows you to think like a general manager and understand all the parts of the business and how things come together and maintaining relationships and maintaining projects. But I think the thing that's really valuable and that a lot of people are interested in is being able to manage a P&L. So profit and loss statement, being able to actually see how much money is coming in and coming out of a business, and specifically a brand. So for example, if you were working at Coca-Cola and you're working on, I think they separate out by packaging too, so like canned Diet Coke, you would have access to the P&L for that product, and you'd be thinking about just like all-encompassing sort of what do we want to do with this product. So in terms of like innovation, are you innovating? What kind of marketing do you want to do? What's going on with finances? What's going on with operations? Is there like, do you want to expand? I mean, Diet Coke might not be a great example because it really is everywhere, but if you had a smaller product, like where do you want to distribute? Like what kind of relationships do you want to have with distributors and manufacturers? And so it's really kind of a 360 sort of position where you get to see a brand or sometimes multiple brands, depending on the size of the brands you're working on, from every angle.
So that sounds like a really interesting world in which to work. The interdisciplinary aspect of it, it sounds to me a bit like being a producer, right? You're doing a lot of different things, but ultimately you have a ownership interest over this one thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's in a lot of ways, brand management is similar to production, in that you do have to be sort of a master of like the cross-functional piece of things and communicating and keeping people on task and making sure that you know what's going on. And the big through line that I didn't really realize until maybe a month or two ago was really important to me is having a tangible product. So in production, I loved being able to watch the TV show I worked on or the movie I worked on, or I produced events too. So being able to see the event and looking at something and being like, wow, all the hard work has culminated in this, and this is incredible. And with product, it's the same way. So if you're working on toothpaste or you're working on, I'm trying to think of other examples, any kind of food product, like a packaged food product, you can actually go to the CVS or go to the grocery store and see your product on the shelves. And it sounds silly, but it's super, super exciting, especially for me. Like, I'm really interested in how consumers think and how people attach themselves emotionally to products and brands. So when you're working on it from the other end, and then you can sort of stroll by the CVS on your way home and pop in and see your brand on the shelves, or if you went through like a, you know, a packaging renewal, or you innovated and have a new product that no one's ever seen before, and to see how it's actually rolled out in stores. I have friends that are brand managers that say like sometimes they'll just walk by the deodorant aisle or whatever they work on and watch people interact with the product, and that they get so excited. So having that tangible result, I think, is one of the big commonalities between working in production and working as a brand manager.
I can see how that would be exciting. Like, you put all your energy into this thing, and then it's out there in the world. It can be purchased, interacted with. it feels real in a certain way. So I typically ask the same last question of everybody who comes here, comes on the podcast. What advice would you have for prospective students? Anything based upon your experience that you would share with them?
I think my biggest piece of advice would be when it comes to business schools, it's easy to focus on recruiting or like if I want to, you know, go into brand management or investment banking or consulting or whatever it may be, getting focused on which schools do the most of this one thing. The best thing I did in the process was to focus on the community and like the actual sort of day in and day out in the people. And that has been what's made me happy here is really doing putting the work in to talk to as many people as I could at all the schools I applied to and thinking about who are the people that I want to be with for like 5 hours in class every day. Who are the people that I want to go through like a stressful recruiting cycle with? Who are the people that I'm going to be friends with in 10 years and will be, you know, hanging out and like laughing over wine with our kids? Like who are really the people that I want to be around for 2 years? And Darden really offered that. Taking a step back to think about, and people have different priorities, of course, so it depends on really what your end goal is. But if the journey and the experience and the people is something that's important to you, really thinking about what school is going to give you that and give you those relationships and those dynamics that you're looking for.
One of the most interesting things to us, I think, as an admissions committee, is as we talk with students through the process. You meet people early on. It seems like a lot of how they're filtering business schools based on rankings and these kind of things. So they get deeper into the process. They've applied. They've been admitted. They've got some options now. All of a sudden, the focus shifts very much. You know, now you're dealing with a universe of schools, a group. Ranking kind of maybe goes a little bit to the side. And now it becomes all about, you know, culture and community and those things that personally are very important to you, which I find that sort of progression. I find that really interesting. But you're absolutely right. The thing that's going to have the most impact to you on a day-to-day basis is whether you like the people that you're around and whether you enjoy learning here. And, you know, how do you feel? Do you feel supported? Are you having fun? All those things.
Yeah, I think it is such an important part of the process to consider. And it's true. It does sort of narrow in a way where you start just getting kind of the high sort of touch points of each program and understanding like statistically what's going on at each school. But yeah, I would say if community is something that's important to you, Darden is a great place to be and definitely to take some time to think about those things and what you want in terms of like your experience more holistically.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for your time today. It's great talking with you. Good luck on exams. Recognize that those are right around the corner. Glad to hear things are going well. And thank you so much for taking time for the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And that was my interview with first-year student Lindsay Johnson. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening and be well.